Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You know, I talk like this, I talk like that.
Hold your horses.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Not for nothing.
Talk and chocolate and coffee.
I got a bone to pick with you.
Forget about it.
David Brancaccio, WNYC, in for Brian Lehrer. There it is, New Yorkers in their natural habitat, talking or talking with the New York accent. Now, here I am with my flat mid-Atlantic non-accent. Why do I have standing to even engage in this conversation? Both my mom, Ruth, and Pat Brancaccio were from Brooklyn. And so even though I grew up in Maine and say hot dog, because I'm a New Englander, they used to say hot dog. So I think that buys me the ability to talk about this from a position of admiration and affection. From the Lower East Side to the Bronx to Canarsie, there is a flavor to the way that native New Yorkers speak the language. Of course, we know not everyone sounds like De Niro or Fran Drescher, and fewer people actually seem to have that distinctive accent, the tendency to say, you know, coffee. My next two guests are well-versed in the language of New York, as well as, in some cases, its disappearance. Heather Quinlan is a documentarian and the woman behind If These Knishes Could Talk. And Sam Schwab is a speech therapist who has helped actors with their accents, in some cases their fake accents. Welcome, you both, to WNYC.
Thank you.
Hi.
And listeners, we want to hear some of those accents now. So if you've got a New York thing going in your voice, whether you're from Tottenville or East New York, wherever, even New Jersey you could call it, we need your help. Without knowing where you're calling from, we're going to have Sam guess the origin of your accent, okay? So get on the line now if you could. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And our comments page is, as always, open at WNYC.org. But this would be a good one to hear. So I want to, you know, the phone is key to this. Heather, you've been talking to New Yorkers about their accent all over the city. What have you learned? Is it a neighborhood thing? Like you now can find it easy to know if the person's from Bensonhurst?
One of the things that I learned, and I actually kind of learned this from Sam a little bit, is that I think there are definitely certain idiosyncrasies in the different neighborhoods in what people say. For instance, in the Bronx, they'll say, I'm going downtown, to mean going to Manhattan, whereas you wouldn't say that in Brooklyn, for instance. But I think largely a lot of times an Italian in the Bronx may sound a lot the same as an Italian in Brooklyn. And I think it definitely seems to be more of an ethnic criteria to the accent than a geographic one, is what I've noticed. And again, you know, certain words here and there. Staten Island, when I was growing up, a slide was a sliding pond. And that's something that you don't really hear in many of the other boroughs. It's very old New York.
It's a choice of words in some cases,
yeah,
not just accent.
Exactly.
All right, Sam, Schwa, you ready for this? We got one on the line. Ready? This is Bob. And Bob, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing today? It's a great show, and continue good luck to all of you.
All right, what do you think? You need to say a little bit more?
Maybe a little bit more.
I'm a yoga teacher, vegetarian. I love reading the Bhagavad Gita.
I sounds New York to me.
All right, Bob. Where? I would say where you sound like you're from the Bronx. Where are you actually from?
Well, people think I'm actually from Brooklyn accent, but I'm actually was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, Rego Park.
Oh, Rego Park. All right. Well, you certainly sound like you're from New York. So, Sam, where are you from originally?
I'm from Brooklyn originally.
Well, what neighborhood?
From Williamsburg.
Yeah. And you've got the ear, right? You can tell.
Well, as Heather was saying, the theory that we both share is that people have accents that are more ethnically related rather than borough-specific. So it's much easier to assume what sort of people the person grew up around. Accents develop between the ages of 3 years and 7 years, and based on a person's peers, not on not even on the genuine ethnicity, but on the ethnic group that they grew up in the community. And people move around far too much, as this guy moved from Brooklyn to Queens, to really root or really identify within a 6-block radius, as Henry Higgins used to do.
Well, that's interesting. We've been doing the Your Anecdotal Census project here at WNYC for a while, which people are calling in and sharing information about where they have moved over the past 10 years. And one of the things that's very clear is it's a very fluid population. People do get around. You don't just grow up in Queens, stay in Queens, but you might be moving within, you know, within different boroughs, but also between boroughs. It must make your life particularly interesting as you're gathering data for the doc.
Definitely. From a personal point of view, I've lived in all five boroughs, and I have very little of a New York accent, so I don't know if maybe it just all sort of conglomerates into kind of one kind of hybrid New York thing. But I think people have a lot of borough-specific pride, whatever borough they identify most with. Even if they're born in Brooklyn, but they live most of their life in Rego Park, maybe Brooklyn is really where their heart is. So they'll identify themselves that way.
Now, Margarita is on the line from someplace in the greater tri-state region. Margarita, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you doing? Guess my neighborhood.
All right. Say the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Do I have to sing it? The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. Hurricanes hardly ever happen in Hartford and Hampshire. I don't think I remember that one so well. Sure. A clue would be that I get made fun of most for wearing my room and both, and sandwich is another bad one.
Wait, I couldn't quite hear you. Say that last sentence again.
Sometimes when I forget myself, I say sandwich.
Sandwich.
Sandwich. Sandwich with a – that's an old-timey one, too. You actually hear that one upstate sometimes.
Oh, well, I went to school upstate, but uh-huh. I think I had that – I think I brought that with me, though. Not that I introduced it, but I think that
Sam, any guesses where she's from?
I don't guess neighborhoods.
No. It turns out it's –
I would guess Long Island. That would be my guess.
Long Island.
No.
Margarita, where are you from?
Brooklyn, but I grew up in Sunset Park. So that was the kind of – there was a lot of Latin in my accent at one point, though I have really tried to clean up my accent. But I did have – you know, what she was saying before about the ethnicity really did change it. And I also think that, like, the whole idea of one Brooklyn accent isn't really
– Yeah, I mean, that's real.
Because there's Canarsie, there's Sunset Park. I mean, there's just a bazillion accents.
Well, Margarita, you actually do sound like we might be related. You sound like some of my own aunts. So I appreciate you.
Well, where are they from?
They're from Brooklyn. They're from Bensonhurst, on that side of the family.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad I stuck them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Robert made a comment at WNYC.org. Robert says, me, born and raised in the Bronx, lived in New York all his life, and people who meet me ask if I'm British. I don't know. That may just be tin ear people. It does seem surprising.
Well, it actually speaks to kind of the history of the accent, where it started is that we think, now granted there weren't a lot of recording devices back then, but it might have been largely because of people striving to sort of sound British and more elitist, and the dropped R. And we were talking, Sam and I were talking earlier about, you know, the FDR, the nothing to fear but fear itself, that kind of thing. It sort of got a little corrupted.
Well, it's true because the missing R that is so characteristic in the New York accent, it's also my people up in New England also drop the R. That must be inherited from Britain.
Well, absolutely. There are three accent belts generally that linguists talk about. One is New England, one is New York, and one is the Deep South, all dominated by the original British colonials, and who all dropped their R's. So you'll have in the Deep South, let's say, Scarlett, who can hear the landlord. And as you know from New England, you'll have parked the car in the courtyard in Massachusetts and parked the car in the courtyard in New York.
I figured out where all the R's went, that all these accents have excised. Mm-hmm. It's Cornwall, England. It's the pirate accent. You go to Cornwall, they're all like, "Arr, me mateys," and there's too many R's, but be that as it may. A really interesting online comment here, he calls himself Jay, asks a question really for Sam. The comment is, I've been plagued with a persistent and horrid Brooklyn accent for my 60-plus years, and it's been a true handicap. One cannot be taken seriously with a debilitating Brooklyn accent. Is there anything that can be done?
Well, that's exactly what we specialize in. In my company, New York Speech Improvement Services, we specialize in accent elimination. One of the things that we first do is identify what the pattern is. So there could be R's missing after vowels. There could be the nasal A before the M or the N, as in Sam can't dance. The G that disappears in walking and talking. The exaggerated or. There's a pattern of about maybe 8 to 10 sounds that make a person sound New York, regardless of the ethnicity.
What's the problem? I mean, is it? Do you think it's seen as a class marker, or is it seen as some connection to you're not educated enough?
Well, originally, I think you speak as your peers do, as children. Any kid who behaves in a different manner from his group is going to be isolated or penalized. You have to behave as your norm group does. Once you leave your home community, then you're penalized for being different or stigmatized as part of a discriminated group, or there are all sorts of stigmas attached to different groups.
Heather, did you find other people as you're going around filming for the documentary who felt that the accent was a problem, was a stigma?
Yeah, interestingly, I met a woman who was from the Bronx and was doing on-air segments for the Yankees, and you would think that that would be an ideal fit. But she Googled herself, and as what happens when you Google yourself, sometimes you tend to find some not-so-nice things, and she found out someone had made a comment about her accent. And this was, I would say, a New Yorker, and probably, you know, not someone who sounded like Olivier himself, but made a comment about her accent, and she was really embarrassed. She had no idea she had one. So even though she was a Bronx girl working for the Yankees, she was taking dialect classes to lose that accent. So there's even, you know, there's elitism everywhere, even among New Yorkers and the way that they sound.
All right, on the line is Paul. Paul, say something to me. What'd you have for breakfast? Or maybe, yeah, go ahead.
For breakfast, I had a tuna sandwich.
Tuna sandwich. And
I was breakfast. Born in one of the five boroughs, and I've lived in four of the boroughs. And in the business world, I was embarrassed about my accent. And my son straightened me out, and he said, "That's what you are. You should be proud of it." So now I'm proud of it, but I think I mellowed it out a little bit.
I mean, I can hear some New York in the man. It's not doesn't seem to be debilitating. Sam, can you tell anything about Paul based on what you just heard? It doesn't necessarily have to be what neighborhood he's from.
Well, I can hear that he still says sandwich and maybe tuner, where he adds the R to compensate for dropped R's elsewhere. So he just throws them in where they don't belong, dropping the N from the ING, and to say something like a little bit, dropping that D like T in little. These things define accents, and outside the community, if you're branded with it, you could suffer, or if you make your peace with it and you stay within your community, then that's no problem at all.
Just got a few seconds, Sam, but tell me, you've worked with some pretty famous stars on the accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody I might know?
Well, I've worked with Robert De Niro, Kathleen Turner.
De Niro had one, though, right?
Still does.
You didn't teach him that.
No, I didn't teach him that. I wish I could take credit for that. But I taught him to lose his accent in a couple of movies. Cape Fear for one, where he traded it for an Ozark accent.
Oh, isn't that really interesting? Robert from New York commented that he agrees with the ethnic lean to accent dialect. And by the way, Italian-Americans, he writes, don't all sound like mafia gangsters. Mafia gangsters who are Italian-Americans sound like, he writes, Italian-Americans. Maybe we can straighten that out. All right. Thank you very, very much. Sam Schwa from the Speech Center and Heather Quinlan, who has the film If These Knishes Could Talk. Thank you so much for your time, your expertise, and good humor.
Thank you.